my lovelies.
Hi, how are you? Karibu sana to Therapeutic Podcast, a space designed specially to help us get to the heart of what makes us tick. My name is Koi.
And I'm Wende.
What a pleasure to have you here again. If you're joining us for the very first time, karibu sana January. Oh, pole, February ni wakati mwema wa kukua na sisi. We are on a series called The Mimi Chronicles. It's exciting. This is the third part, so you can just jump a few episodes back to catch us from where we began. But the inspiration came from a quote from Dr. Mwende, who said, "Psychology is like IT. Everyone needs basics."
Yes.
Napo ndio tumekua.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Correct. Anyway,
yes. And for those of you listening from outside Kenya, Mimi Chronicles means me. Mimi ni means
Mimi,
I. Mimi means I. Like a chronicles on the self.
Okay.
Yes.
If you're here and you're part of our community, we are so grateful that you've worked with us through all these episodes. We're almost at 40, Mwende.
Yes.
Almost at 40 episodes.
I feel like...
Saila tulianzia, if there's a pregnant woman, now she's given
by
birth.
By the way. Mm-hmm.
Yes. How cool. Mm. How cool.
This is coming to birth. We are, for anyone who is our generation 844, Marjorie McGoye, yes, hashtag it's a set book, it's a book you can look for it anyway.
Yeah. I had someone called Were, did you remember?
Yes, Martin Were.
Some people will read Martin Wa. All right, but Pole. For the Gen Z's that listen to us, they're like,
go look for the book.
They can't look for the book.
It's there.
But why would you want to read
But it's
book?
African literature. Like, we should learn the way people read Shakespeare. We should read.
Okay, that's
we should
true.
Do a big up to
it's
our
just,
own.
It's just I really didn't enjoy it. But,
me, what I remember about coming to birth is when Paulina came. And she was like, "Do you know Martin Were from Nairobi?" And I'm like, "Guy, how many?" Like, you know, the
it
way
doesn't they work like that.
You know the way people ask you, like, "You're from where?" Ati when I'm say wa Kiambu, unajua nani? It's like Kiambu is a, I don't know, a
it's
classroom.
Huge.
Ha! Sorry.
Ni hopes.
Yeah.
All right. So before we start today's episode, that Yani, you're in for a treat. Even I am in for a treat. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. On Sunday, I was having a conversation with some young guys.
Yeah.
And we had a question and we're asking, if you were to put up a museum from age zero to your current age, so from zero to 25.
Yeah.
What is it that you'd want in that museum?
Ooh, yeah. I love that question so much.
Do you want to tell us? What would you put in your museum?
Kai, we mwenye swali anafaa kujibu first. This is how you usually feel when I throw random ninis. Today I'm in the hot seat. Okay, yeah. Ooh, what would I put? I feel like if you had asked me this question like 3 years ago, I'd have put all my academic accolades.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you'd be like, oh, my degrees and my papers, all the things, because for a long time that's what I held dear, and I felt like that was a root of a story of my life. But I think now I'm starting to see that my life is more than just my papers and all that. So yeah, hiyo ingekuwa featuring highlight. And if you had asked me this question in high school, I would have probably put all my positions. Shout out to all the form fours who just got their KCSE results.
Yep.
Breathe in and out. You're still alive. I know right now it feels, especially the people who are celebrating, then maybe having analysis of paralysis. I mean, it's paralysis of analysis because you have so many options.
Yeah.
Maybe you are not expecting. And what you want to do, Kwanza Kwe, you should give us your story.
Yeah.
The way, Kwe are the people who got good grades and then
but didn't know what to do.
Exactly. Like now all the things you want, everyone is like, no, you can't do that with that grade.
Yep.
You should aim higher. And you're like, but what if that's my desire?
Right.
And then there's the opposite side of the spectrum, who are guys who didn't get what they expect. And now even what they wanted, they don't see a path to there.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? This is an episode that can give you a window into looking at yourself, but not necessarily careers. But I feel like if you stick to us to the end of this series, maybe we'll help you with that question.
Yeah. And then there were to DM us though.
Yes.
Yeah, if you feel stuck and you just need someone who's not your parent to talk.
Yeah. So one thing you may or may not know about us at this point is we're very passionate about the youth, teenagers and high schoolers, because I think we met in high school and many people who shaped us who into who we are is based on those conversations we had at that point.
That's true.
Okay, I didn't finish. Mm-hmm. I was saying, if you had asked me this in high school, I would have told you all the clubs I belonged to.
Really?
If you remember me in high school, I was in zero sport. Zero sports.
Yeah.
Maybe the sport I did was shot put. Like, you know, actually, Aki, if Olympics were serious, Kenyan Olympics team, you missed an international level shot put thrower in me.
Oh.
And now we moved on to Mezeka Bunze to Zijika Zineza Tupeyo
Kitini. Tupeyo hospitali very fast.
But I was in so many clubs. I was in drama, I was in choir, I was in JA. I was in Chinese club. But
there was,
a
Chinese club?
Yes.
Was I
Ohio Gazaimas.
You were the Chinese.
No, it was Japanese, sorry. Yes.
Still.
I was in 7 clubs. And this is what Koi gets when she puts me on the hot seat. You get insight into my life.
I know. Like, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and those were my things. I was also in Model UN.
That's so cool. I remember that one.
We used to wear suits, and it's the first time I wore heels. Anyone who sees me right now and they are like, super girly you. Yeah, that's where it started. So that was what I would put in my museum. But then after high school, those things almost mean nothing. Anyway, sorry. What about you?
Interesting. So of course, like everyone else, I'd put your achievements and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But something that crossed my mind and I thought, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a time my dad went to a place called East Timor.
Ish.
And when he went there, he brought me 2 dresses.
Yeah.
One was like blue and the other one was gray.
Yeah.
And I loved those dresses. And I thought, you know, I'd like to keep that in the museum. Don't ask me why. I just felt so special.
So people who have not met Koi is not that often in dresses.
That's true.
So I did not expect you to say that.
Imagine, maybe that's why I'd keep them. Because I don't wear dresses all the time. But those ones are really, really special.
Okay, I need photos. We need photo evidence.
Oh my gosh. You don't want to see the photo evidence of those photos. It's like, it's bad. I was like class maybe 5 or 6.
But they made you feel special.
So, so special.
Yeah. Aki, does your dad know this? This is so interesting. Sorry.
I wonder if he does. But like, excuse me to my co BFFs, I found myself like, we really talk about like random things.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, we've become special BFFs even in my older age.
That's so cool. Skiza Jimpendwa, fellow listener, send us a DM. We are on IG or Instagram as Therapeutic Podcast, on Facebook, on all the other platforms to Tafte. Tell us, what would you put in your museum?
Yeah. We'd love to know. Cool.
Mm-hmm. So today we're going to take it will sound like a deep dive, but in a way we're almost taking a step back from self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to be talking about self-concept. If you've done any unit in psychology, people will be like, I know what that is. If you
How come
this
is the first time I've heard about that? I'm like, we talk about concept notes and, you know, like anything, but I've never heard of self-concept. So I'm also curious, what's that? How does it look like?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Self-concept is the wider perspective of the self. Then we dive into things like self-awareness and self-image and all the things that are under there. And the reason I wanted us to start with self-awareness, I feel like it's more recognizable to hear about self-awareness than it is for people outside the psychology world to talk about self-concept.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we started the Mimi Chronicles with self-awareness.
Right.
At some point, we got listener feedback, which we always love. By the way, if you've been feeling like, you can always do a voice note and send it to us and we will play it, listen and answer your questions.
Yep.
If you ask enough questions, we might start segments where we respond to your questions, which is such a Kenya radio thing. Like
Patanisho of Therapeutic.
or... I don't know. Is the segments in Kwasne? Kulikuwa na Busted. Okay, I had to wait up for Busted.
Aki, you're old.
yetu itakuwa na busted, but mm-hmm. just basically when you call in or you send us a voice note about any of your questions yep. and we see how we can answer. I'm sure you were like, okay, you've told us enough. What is this self-concept?
Yes, please.
So basically, self-concept is what you answer to the question, who am I?
Oh.
Yes.
Which is such a hard question to answer.
Yes.
Because then you're like, do you want me to say I'm a child of God? Or do you want my name? Or do you want, like, hey?
Yes. And so many theories.
On this episode, are you going to teach us how to answer that question?
Yeah. I'll teach you the psychological way of answering that question.
And then people will decide if they want to pick it or not.
Yes.
Cool.
Because I feel like it has so many, it's multifaceted and multi-layered. And if you've learned one thing about me, or even when we do the question segment, you'll realize I don't give easy answers. Because sometimes we ask such complicated, fundamental questions, and then you want like a one-line answer. And I'm like...
And I couldn't get you at first. Because I'm like, yes, no.
It's
opposite,
so
right, wrong.
Complicated. This is why psychology is both a science and an art. Mm. Like, there is so many layers to it. So you can't just go like, so who am I? And I'm like, you are A, B, C, and D.
Mm.
The end. Roll credits.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much more complicated.
Because there are principles, but then how they apply to each person is different.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And when we usually talk about self-concept, we will dive into three aspects of it, which many people know about. So you see, we don't know the umbrella, but we know the two small branches. Mm-hmm. We don't know the tree, mm-hmm. but we know the branches.
Okay.
So for example, one of the aspects we'll be talking about in this series is self-image. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everyone has an idea, a thought, a belief or whatever about their self-image, which is basically how you view yourself. And when we get into this, let me not preempt it, kabisa, but you'll realize your self-image sometimes is not accurate or based on truth.
That's true.
So imagine you've been carrying this image, which is incorrect. And one thing you'll notice with this Mimi Chronicles, or even with this self-concept today, you'll realize you know some parts of it, but you don't know a lot about it. And how I look at it sometimes is, think about it. Like, if you're a blind person trying to describe an elephant, the part you touch, you will be your idea of what that elephant is.
Right.
So if you touch the nose, you'll be like, oh, it's like a snake because it has this long trunk. And you're like, oh, then that's what self-concept is. Yeah. If you touch the ears, you'll be like, oh, it's like a fan or like a, like, I don't know, whatever it is. So today we're hoping to try describe this whole elephant. Then when we go to the tasks and the trunk and the all the things, you will see the multifaceted approaches. So the one aspect of self-concept is the self-image. Then we have the second aspect, which is the self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we go into self-worth, self-esteem, self-love, all these things are under there. And this is basically how much value we put in ourselves or we have in ourselves. And I feel like there's a self-worth crisis right now with the Gen Zs and even with the millennials.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like a lot of it has to do with our education system, because you're like, it's either you're this or this. Like, it's either you have worth or you don't. Like, there's no middle ground.
And it's based on your performance most of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And but also like, I feel like they're the generation that are talking about self-love a lot.
And I think also when we talk about these concepts, today where I'm going heavily into psychology and the concepts and nini, I feel like there's this postmodernism, new age things that takes some of the principles of psychology and then woo-woo, mystify it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know that sounds so bad. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we'll say something and you think we're talking about something else, but then when you critique or go deeper into it, you discover those are very different things.
Yeah.
So we will be sticking to the psychological aspect and maybe we'll dive into another aspect later on. But yeah, so if you have those questions, ask us. Because I know self-concept also is used a lot in manifesting.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How come we have never heard it?
Like people, and then you'll hear people talk about manifesting and the vibrations of the universe and the woo-woo, those are my woo-woo. Those are the pseudosciences.
Yeah.
Like, in science, we're like, where's the evidence? Mm. So we call them pseudosciences. I know there are people who
they're working ish, but for most
they can't be replicated for scientific purposes. And the people who right now have been loving this podcast and they're like, Mwende, we were in the same boat, and now have just given me a side eye of how dare you attack my whole belief system. I'm sorry, we love different opinions. Let's have a conversation about it. Don't now switch us off and be like, they don't believe these things and nini. No, listen, listen to our thought process. Let's go down this rabbit hole and see where we go. And then the last aspect of self-concept is this ideal self. So this is basically who we really wish we were. And there are so many people who have this idea of themselves that, or the ideal self, which sometimes is so far away from reality. You know, sometimes have you ever had someone describing how they think they are or who they think they are? Yeah. And you're like, are we looking at the same thing? Like, tuko pamoja ama? Are you hallucinating? Are you based in reality and everything? And all of us have this thing. So before we dive into the three aspects of nini nini, and those probably will be individual episodes, today we just want to talk about this self-concept business. And I told you the easiest way of thinking about it is, what do you answer to the question, who am I?
Yeah.
And someone is like, oh, that's such a vague definition.
Right.
Another way of thinking about self-concept instead of just who am I, how you answer that, is also how you think about yourself, how you evaluate yourself, and how you perceive yourself. Like, almost like self-awareness. So self-awareness is the introduction into how you see yourself, but it's deeper than that. Because if you're aware, it means like you're seeing something, you can recognize, you're aware of something. And remember, even all the times, like in our first season especially, we were like, the first thing is awareness. How can you change something you don't know or don't recognize or need? So the first thing is awareness. So for self-concept, the first thing is to be able to know, how do I think about myself? How do I present myself? How do I come across to people? And then now dig deeper and go like, is that what I feel is true? Do I accept that as an aspect of me or not? So the first one is the public self. So the public self, this is your view of yourself and how people, like people's public awareness of you. And I know, especially since we talked about the Johari window, this might sound a bit familiar with the public self. But now the thing about the public self is that most of us know this, but until people have conversations with you, you might not be aware of how people perceive you. And if you did the Johari window, probably you learned stuff about how people see you.
Yeah.
And then now the self-concept part of how we, of the public self, is who you believe you are. So most of us believe our shape of who we are, or how we answer the question of who am I, is based on our experiences from childhood, what people have told us. Basically, it's like you've opened a folder of who you are. And think about it, when you're told, and I hate this question, and I've said this a million times in this podcast.
Yeah.
When people tell us, like, introduce yourself to us. I'ma tell us who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you want to know? But that's your self-concept.
Yeah.
And ask yourself, like, if you are told, like the museum, I love that, Nini. So in your museum, what are the five categories you would identify as being true to you? And notice, these shouldn't be things that change. For example, like when we are younger, our ideas of our self-concept are usually based on things like age. Have you seen, when you are small, you used to be like, I'm 6 and a half. And that half was so significant. So like you were like, this is, like, I'm older than this person by one day. You know, have you met also twins? The way they're like, I'm 2 minutes older. And that 2 minutes, like, feels like it's everything. Because if it's not for those 2 minutes, then I'm no longer old. You know, like, it means there's so much value and nini attached to that significance. Right. And other things could be also your gender. Like, you know, And I like using kids because they are so vulnerable and honest, and they haven't been corrupted by the world and things to start pretending. Yeah. So you'll hear people saying, this is just for girls. Mm. And you know, when kids are small, there's this age, they're allergic to other genders.
That's
like,
true. Yeah.
Like if someone
don't
comes.
Touch me.
Yeah.
I can't sit next to a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if, by the way, I remember, Tukiwa, like, was it in class 2? Mm-hmm. Like we would be punished. Like if you were caught talking in class, uh-huh. our punishment was mm-hmm. to
sitting next to a boy.
Not sitting next to share a chair with a boy. And it felt like the worst punishment. Like you're all like sharing a seat. Like you even don't want your butts to touch. You're just like, ew, ew, ew.
It's the worst of the worst.
You were like, Kai, how could you? Like it was so icky.
And then come 12 and you're like, please keep me anywhere next to them.
I know. Mm. No. The age of 12. Mm. But then funny enough is, ungetupata 10 minutes later outside break time. Now sisi tunacheza stuck in the mud. Ulecheza stuck in the mud. So stuck
maybe
in the mud.
I keep telling you, the games you played, probably the games I played, we just didn't have names for them. So what's stuck
in the mud? Stuck in the mud, ilikuwa una freeze. Ukishikwa, nika tapo tapo, ama tag for our bougie friends. Tapo tapo, so ukishikwa, you freeze and then you put your legs apart. Mm-hmm. So how someone saves you is they have to pita you chobo chini. Like, yeah. And say chobo in English. Someone has to go under you.
Yeah, through the legs. Yeah.
Through.
It's not sound so bad. It's okay. Let's not explain to them what that means.
Oh, Jesus. So, as in, it's basically someone has to go under you. Mm-hmm. See, your legs are apart.
Yeah.
Go under you to save you. So, if they go under you before they are caught, they've saved you. So, that's why you're stuck in the mud. Yeah. So, you become stuck when you're tagged by a team. Mm. And then now when someone goes under you, you're saved. Mm. So the same boy who you were like, ew, yuck, you're sharing a chair, you're contaminating my space. Yep. 10 minutes later, kwa break, uko like, niho, kucha chobo, me, save me.
Oh, nasao, the power of the game.
Yeah. Mm. So basically, self-concepts is who you believe you are. So like you, Kui, when someone asks you, like, what are the things you believe about yourself that you're like, this is who I am. Mm. And sometimes they're unchanging, untangible things. Mm-hmm. What, just give me a random thing. Like the way I'm trying to explain what.
I love people. Mm-hmm. Like I love hanging out with people.
Ooh.
Okay. I enjoy nature. Mm-hmm. I think that's true wherever you take me. Yeah. I am an introvert. Basically means I prefer not to talk more than to talk.
Yeah.
What else?
Do you believe you're an intelligent person?
I don't know that I'd say intelligent.
Yeah.
I'm a
or
fast
smart.
Learner.
Ooh.
I'm a quick learner. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So you see, that aspect of self-concept is you see yourself as a fast learner.
Yeah.
Maybe I see you as an intelligent person. Mm. So for you, in your book, in your self-concept, in your diary or in your folders, mm-hmm. when you look at the manual of Koi, we'll see in terms of learning or intelligence or smartness or skills, you would say fast learner. Mm. In terms of social spaces, you'll be like kind or people person or you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Now the thing why self-concepts becomes a bit harder and tricky, and that's why when people go like, who am I? Sometimes people find that a hard question to answer. You find is because people have different categories in their diaries, in their journals, in their manuals. So like for you, when I asked you, would you consider yourself an intelligent or a smart person? You're like, I don't know, because maybe that's not a category for you. Mm. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
But for someone else, that's such a meaningful category that if someone calls them dumb or silly, either they laugh it off because it's so ridiculous because they know they're not, or it's something that has been reinforced over their lifetime that they were told you're so dumb for this and this, and it becomes a trigger point. So the way they view themselves is messed up.
Right.
So now, even in the self-concept category, we have thoughts, feelings, and behaviors because that's how we write the book of ourself, of who am I, and how we answer those questions. And I feel like when we dive into the image and worth, we'll get even deeper into those categories. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because when we talk about self-awareness, notice we've touched on self-awareness already when we're talking about self-concept.
So far, I don't see the difference actually, but I'm just hoping by the time we get to number four, I'll see it.
I hope.
Let's keep going.
I'm really trying to break it down.
It's okay.
So, so what you discover is that the self-awareness is the beginning of understanding how you write the book of self-concept. Self-concept is the title of the book. The self-awareness is you starting to read the book. So we usually write it unconsciously. We write it unconsciously, but then we read it to discover like, oh, so actually, like now,
so it's already there, whether you're aware or not.
Yes,
it's already
there. Everyone has a self-concept.
Yeah.
Everyone has a museum. It's just that they've been keeping things unconsciously in there. So that's why, like, I would tell you, like, for the longest time, it was my clubs. In high school, it was my clubs. I would tell you, these are my clubs. Look at all my club achievements. Because not to brag, but I was chairlady of multiple clubs. And multiple. So that was the museum thing. Then you leave there and you discover kumbe they don't have value outside this bubble of high school. Then you go like, so what am I if I'm not a chairlady? What am I if I'm not a member of seven clubs? Or I'm not this and this? Or what happens when the funkies that were the motivators or the social outings would go from boarding schools? Now we are outside
out
socially. Like you get what I mean?
And you can talk to anyone at all the time.
Exactly.
So all that is under public.
Yes. All that is under public. But when you start realizing the impact, so good question. Ah, no, I see where you're lost. Okay, so when it even comes to self-awareness or self-concept, there's the internal dialogue or the internal self, and then there's the self operating in the outside. So the internal self, these are your thoughts, your behaviors, your feelings, your nini. So we all have thoughts, feelings, and nini in our museum about ourselves. That's the way you say, I'm social, I'm smart, I'm nini. That's me, my internal nini. Then when we get into self-esteem and image and nini, there's also how we operate in the external environment because we are social beings. So you might think you're the most social person, but when we put you in a social context, you're like, not social, or you're only social. I get this all the time from people. People go like, I'm usually super talkative around people I trust. But then you see them in a crowd that they're most quiet person. You're like, do you have a voice? Do you talk? And so there's the person you think you are. You get what I mean? Like so that's what I'm trying to say. The self-concept is the book of who am I? The self-awareness is starting to read the book, is touching the trunk and being like, oh, this is one aspect. One of our listeners asked a question of, is there such a thing as toxic or negative self-awareness? Let's hear the question.
So what you're talking about was like self-awareness and faith, where instead of having faith for what can be and what will be and being optimistic and working towards things, you declare self-awareness and be like, I can't do it because of 1, 2, 3. I can't do it because of 1, 2, 3, because this is just how I am. But also in a toxic level, in terms of when you recognize that something about you is not positive, and instead of fixing it, you try to make everyone around you tolerate it. An example would be if I am not a good timekeeper and I recognize it, and instead of actively working on something like that, I own it, and it becomes every time I'm late, I'm like, oh, you know, that's on you because you know I'm not good at time, and you like that. Like, instead of working it, I expect everyone around maneuver through it.
So one thing you'll discover is that sometimes we can start reading the book and think that this book was written or cast in stone, that it can never change. Or if anything, that you're doomed to be like that. So if this social person only has read the narrative that they're only social with their family or only where they're safe, they believe that they can never be social in another context apart from at home.
yet
they are the same person.
Yeah.
So if we use our narratives, and that's why I haven't dived into personality and traits, because a lot of times when we start talking about personalities and traits and someone goes like, I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert, they think I'm doomed to be like this forever.
Right.
Yes, there are things you're comfortable with, but we also have the power of change. So if you discover you're only social with the people you trust, then my question would be, can you enlarge your trust circle?
Yeah.
Because then if you trust more people, you'll find yourself more social.
And just for our listeners, for I know especially this episode can feel like but if you're really interested in just digging deep into who you are, we are gonna have a program coming soon, and so when you go to the show notes there's a link where you can actually sign up, and then we'll give you details as we continue. So Siogope, it's good that you're hearing this as FYI. If there's any exercise, try, attempt, and then now when we do the program we get to do a deep dive into some of these conversations.
And I like that you're saying, Aki, some of these things are not that simple. That's
And even as you speak, I'm like, wow.
And this is why this was not where we would have started. Ideally, self-concept is the topic.
Yeah.
And these other things are the subtopics. But if we start with the topic, sometimes it feels too grand. And when we talk about self-concept, you'll notice there are concepts we have of ourselves in different categories in terms of our intellect. That's why I asked you, do you have a smart nini? And you'll find that across the board, across the cultures and nini, we have something within us. We want to write our stories about our intellect or our intelligence.
Yeah.
Another one is about our morals. That's a very strong one. We, like people will tell you, I'm an upright person or I'm shrewd or I'm crafty. Like the people who, and Squeezy, there's this thing of like, I'm a baddie. Like, like there are negative connotations that we are embracing in some aspects.
Right.
And that becomes a trickier one because I feel like right now our society is so open to so many things that almost taking like a hard stand becomes countercultural.
Oh, it's very unpopular.
Yes.
It's like what?
Yes.
You gotta be anything and everything. But not too fixed.
But you'll notice we still value the same morals.
Yep.
Like you want to be Korofi or a crafty person who gets away or breaks some rules and is like rogue but not. But then when you look for people who surround you, you don't want people like that.
Yep.
You want people you can rely on, someone who is trustworthy.
Yeah.
You see, like it's baked in us to have almost like a moral self-concept. And I'll talk about something I found super, super interesting about morality and self-concept. Then we also have education. In our, this world, there's something we tell ourselves about our education.
Yeah.
And that's why for me, my museum was filled with my papers. And then you go like, there's more to life than that. There are people, it's about their social status and how they move around in the world. So it's about, I'm a daughter, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a spouse, I'm a, you get what I mean?
Yep.
Like I'm a girlfriend, I'm a influencer, like how they interact with the social world. I'm an introvert, I'm an extra, I'm a people person, I'm not a people person, right? Also, a lot of it is on the physical aspect. Like I'm beautiful, I'm not. Kwanza this one, and I feel like, one of these days when we talk about image, we might also do a whole episode on body dysmorphia, which is actually a mental illness.
Oh, really?
Body dysmorphia. Oh, this sounds like, let me look for the scientific explanation. But
I like when you explain to me with your words. Sometimes when I read those things, I'm like, oh.
Body dysmorphia is basically people who don't accurately see themselves.
So you're tall, but you think you're short.
No, it's not that. It's not that objective. let me give you an example. Like there are so many people who, when you look at them, they're like gym bros, like they're buff. They have all them like muscles, like they're chiseled, like literally walichongwa. Like you're like, when I grow up, I want to have this body. And then they feel like they're not perfect enough. Like when you say, oh, you have a nice body, they go like, but my my six pack is a four pack. And you're like, what the what? Like, you get what I mean? You're almost like, are we looking at the same thing? So body dysmorphia is basically when someone becomes obsessively focused on their perception, that's the thing, of their flaws in their appearance. So you're like, oh my God, you're so beautiful, or I love your hair. And they go like, but it's so kinky and like they become so obsessed with the flaws they think are wrong, and they can't see the beauty in what you're trying to see. And I was watching some IG ninis, and I found it so interesting. There was a lady who was saying, in China, was it in China or Korea? Like, for them, the standard of beauty is having big eyes and a petite face with like a small chin and super tiny lips, like tiny lips. But in the West, like in the States and everything, the image of beauty is big lips. Yani unaona watu wameka lip fillers, string nini nini, and then eyes zimechorwa na zimekwa makeup mingi. So I was like, wow. In the African context, beauty for the longest time, which I feel like this is a lie you've told us, or it was for our shoshos, because sisi mimi as a plus size woman for the longest time,
it's not true.
It was not. We were told the perception of beauty is curvy and hippie and nini.
Yeah.
But then when you are like that, people are like, oh, you're fat. And I'm like,
But you said this is what you wanted.
Yes. So the perception, when someone becomes obsessed with the flaws to the point that it becomes a disorder. Yeah. And it's, and we might dive into that. So we all have a narrative or what we tell ourselves, or a book we've written of who am I physically. And sometimes it's not even a true story.
Right.
And sometimes we become so obsessed with perfection. And that's why one of the quotes I love is, our aim is progress and not perfection.
Right.
And sometimes the people who are closer to perfection sometimes are more obsessed with it, to the point that it robs them of joy.
Yeah.
That they can't see their four pack. Now to our one pack are so happy.
That's true. I'm curious about, because you started with four things. So we've talked about public. What are the other three?
The other three have been spilled in there. So the public is others.
Yes.
So I've talked about your environment. Then there's the, and they look at it like the internal environment.
Yes.
So there's the internal environment, what I feel about myself.
Oh, okay.
Then the external environment, what others see of me. And then the last one is how those two interact with each other. So like this six pack, this four pack person, the internal environment is, I'm not perfect. I need to work harder. I need to hit the gym more to get this six pack.
Right.
And if I don't get this six spark, I wouldn't be happy. I'm not perfect. I don't deserve love. You see, also the self-worth is coming because I don't have those two other packs. And the external one can be like, wow, you're fit, you're strong, you're doing, you look good, you're nini nini. And how those two interact is, you're so self-centered. Like, even when you're looking so good, what's wrong with you? Like, the other people who are, and this is the things I hate when people come tell you, like, you know, the other people struggling with nini. And I'm like, what does that have to do with the topic we have? But now the last part is, those are the three, internal, external, and how those two interact. Sure. Those are three. Now the last thing is, we are social beings. And I keep saying this a lot. And sometimes our aspect or our view of ourselves, our self-concept in our book of writing is also written by others and our perception of others. This is the external environment.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about it slightly differently. I can feel like I'm so abstract today. I hope you're following along. And Koi, your expressions are mskizaji mpendwa's expressions. So Koi is looking at me like, I hope mskizaji mpendwa, you're not floating in the same
way. After you've told people I'm intelligent, now I have to act intelligent. I'm like self-concept.
Ooh.
I don't know what it is, but I gotta be intelligent in this.
Koi.
No, but I
wait. Pause. Sometimes I can't script this. Like, you perfectly say things, and I'm like, exactly. So you see, based on either what the society has, what the environment has told you, what you told yourself, sometimes we find ourselves acting, thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, acting because of the role we have read. And sometimes being more inauthentic to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we are now playing a role. So you see, yeah. I love, like, you can't make this stuff up.
my joke just became the lesson.
Yeah, because you're like, you've told guys I'm intelligent.
Yeah.
So I can't be over here looking like a deer in the headlights, wondering what the hell are you talking about. And for me, I love when you do that because you're telling me nimepoteza non-psychologists. Mm. And that's not my aim. My aim is to bring you back. So even when you look like that, you're being authentic. And I love that so much because more often than not, our listeners, you always go like, Koi speaks on my behalf.
Mm.
So don't act. You get what I mean?
Yep.
But we do that all the time. Mm. And now this is the point we get to toxic self-awareness.
Mm.
And where the listener...
It's not working for you.
Where you have read the title or a few pages of the book of self-concept and now you think you understand yourself and then you doom yourself to those things and you go like, now I need to perform as the script has written.
Mm.
And then you stop being authentic. Mm. So the whole point of self-awareness is not to perform, but to gain insights into seeing yourself and asking, is this something I want to maintain or not? And if it feels inauthentic and you don't need to maintain it, go like, oh, I'm supposed to be an introvert, but I have started liking people or I found people I trust and I'm now more talkative around them. And that doesn't bode well with your idea of what an introvert is.
Yeah.
So you go like, am I becoming an extrovert? I don't like that. No, it means you're finding people you trust and now you're talkative.
Mm.
You are always an introvert. It's just that trust was the level, was the price of entry for you to be expressive and confident and nini. So most of us, I feel like the more self-awareness becomes toxic or starting this Mimi Chronicles becomes toxic when we make them performative actions that now are the script we are acting under instead of information to ask ourselves, do I want to accept this information or reject it? Do I want to grow from this or now I know something? So when it becomes a script or a prescription or a nini, and that's why all my clients will tell you, I'm very slow to brand labels.
Mm.
I'm very slow to be like, you're bipolar, you're nini. Because sometimes when we brand labels on people, they people own
from
them.
That point.
Yes. Mm. They add it into their self-concept. How? Who am I?
Mm.
They go like, bipolar.
Mm.
And now they start performing actions and being performative of bipolar. Mm. Yeah, that was not who they were before I gave them that label.
Right.
So I hope now you can see that self-awareness is an aspect of it. You've started reading the book, Ukoko Table of Content. You've seen a few subtopics that are interesting. But self-concept is the whole book. And that's why we need to dive into self-image. That's why we need to dive into self-worth and ideal self and all these aspects, because we are expanding our view of the elephant from the trunk or the tusks or the ears to a whole
animal.
Elephant.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's so good. I think the one thing I've picked from today, and I really love it, like that whole idea of, even if you do a personality test, even if you've done all those things that says this is your attachment style, you don't have to perform according to that list. You can just be conscious, but then decide if you want to accept it or reject it.
I like how you said that. This is also another thing, for example, when people learn their triggers, if they're traumatized, then you might be wondering, why haven't we tackled trauma? Because it's a whole other rabbit hole. Anyway, but people become aware of their triggers and sometimes they'll tell you, that's so triggering for me. And I'm like, now that you know it, it's not our job to walk around eggshells for you because this is a trigger for you. And what are you doing about it?
That's an unpopular opinion.
Yes.
Because like nowadays people are just like, oh, you're triggered. I'm like, and then now, as in, what are we supposed to do all the time? But love it. Mm.
So awareness is knowing this is a trigger for me. But remember, even for therapy, when we know that's your trigger, we do self-work on it, not so that the whole world can walk around eggshells around you, but so that you can know, this is a trigger for me. This is how I'm reacting. This is Can I self-regulate? Can I self-soothe? Can I name the feeling? Can I, you get what I mean? Can I take this thought and tell it? Like you, what did we call the thought? Our negative, our monkey mind. Yeah. Like you monkey mind, you're being active right now. Mm. And that's not the reality. This is a feeling. It's not a fact. We've given you all the tools, people. This is why we started with season one. We're giving you all the tools so that you can go like, this is not fact. So how can I use this feedback or this information to move along? But now the thing is that involves work. But so many of us are constantly comfortable with
changing how you've been doing things for such a long time is difficult.
You took the words right out of my mouth. So hence
why we'll have that program. Yes. So that you have just a group of people to sort of have these conversations with. Because at times when you listen to the podcast, it's amazing because then it opens your mind to thinking in a certain way. But the practice can be way, way harder.
And this is why this is free, but you pay for therapy. Because therapy is now the doing part. Like the moving from knowing to actually doing something about it. And sometimes it's not easy. Behavior change is not easy. Implementing or getting rid of years and years and years of files you've told yourself, this is who I am, is not easy.
That's true. Wow. Breathe in, breathe out. If that was a difficult episode, if you listen to it like 2-3 times just to get the point, I'll copy cap. If you had to pause quite a number of times just to Google, it's okay, by the way, it's all right. So we're excited that you're on this journey with us. The journey continues. Join us next Thursday. Yes. Kwaheri. Kwaheri.